If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gathering with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're talking about the big Real Housewives of New Jersey news that came out this week. The latest drama from Summer House, both on and off the show, and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with one of the co-hosts of The Ringer's Morally Corrupt podcast, All About Bravo, Chelsea Stark Jones. It's a great combo, and we get into a lot of it, but there are two little social media updates I'm going to mention up top here that happened between when Chelsea and I recorded Thursday morning and then me recording this intro in the afternoon. So the first is that Kyle Cook did post an apology to Amanda Batula following the episode. A couple days later, he posted a picture of them on Instagram and he wrote, "There's no excuse for how I acted last summer. The way I spoke to and about Amanda was unacceptable and it's brutal to watch back, but not nearly as painful as what she's had to go through. Amanda and I have already spoken about all of this, but I feel the need to acknowledge this publicly. I'm truly sorry and regret the way I handled myself. I know nothing can erase the hurt I caused and she never deserved that and I need to be better." Take that as you will. I'm just adding my extra context, because we obviously do discuss how Kyle talked to and about Amanda on this week's episode. And the other thing that I want to bring up is, you know, Chelsea and I do talk about the speculation about Amanda and Wes. We talk about Wes' comment on Watch What Happens Live. And I also bring up this whole thing about how Sierra and Amanda were supposed to do a joint Amazon Live, I think today, Thursday. It had been announced the day the Dumois rumors came out, earlier in the day. And then ultimately it became two separate Amazon Lives. So a lot of people are reading into that and saying, oh, this means there's bad blood between them. And then that coupled with the timing of it all and the speculation about Amanda and Wes and all these rumors, everyone's putting two and two together and thinking that this means that, like, oh, you know, also like Sierra hasn't liked or commented on any of Amanda's posts in recent weeks. People are sort of bulletin boarding it and like putting together the pieces. You know, they think there's bad blood between Amanda and Sierra, and then they think that's because something happened between Amanda and West. We talk about some of that in our conversation. But the latest thing in regards to that is that on Thursday afternoon, Amanda replied to a comment under a video that friend of the pod, Morgan P. Talks, she was on a couple weeks ago. She made a video about how, you know, Amanda and West getting close on Summer House, that probably hits differently for Kyle now with these Dumois rumors or whatever. Somebody wrote under that video, "West is a safe boy bestie for Amanda because they never date. He's so much fun. He cares about his friends and they have mutual friends to hang out with all the time." And then Amanda wrote under in reply to that, "Thank you," in all caps. So take that as you will. I just wanted to share those things because they've come out since our conversation and they add context and color and updates. Is it possible there's some other reason that Sierra and Amanda could have bad blood that's totally unrelated to the West rumors and the potential that Amanda and West had some romantic hookup or are dating secretly? Yeah, of course, there are other reasons that they could potentially have bad blood. Could they just not have bad blood at all and they did separate Amazon lives and don't interact that much on social media right now for other reasons? Yeah, totally. Could that mean nothing? Yes, totally. Could it all be people reading into things? Yes. Could everything actually be connected and true? Also, yes, I guess, even though that would be so crazy and hard to believe. Again, I think that everybody's sort of across the board and going back and forth on it right now because there are so many different things you can read into. But again, Chelsea and I get into that. I just wanted to add these two extra pieces of information for you. For now, keep listening for my chat with Chelsea Stark-Jones, all about Summer House, New Jersey, and Beverly Hills. Check out Morally Corrupt wherever you get your podcasts, and please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. All right. Today we are gabbing once again with Chelsea Stark-Jones. She is one of the co-hosts of the Ringer's Bravo podcast, Morally Corrupt. Chelsea's always been one of my faves, and it's been a minute since she's been on the show. I'm thrilled to have you back, Chelsea. How are you?
Gibson, I'm always honored when I get a text from you and it's like, hey, do you want to join the podcast? Gibson, what's my opinion? Yes, no, literally. I'm like, of course. Yes,
many good chats over the years.
So. Yes, I know. Yeah. I know. And I've been like, I don't remember what it was specifically, but you were on some housewife show. And I was like, oh, mom, that's my friend. That's my friend Gibson. I know him.
I'm popping up in too many places, Chelsea. We'll get into Summer House and Beverly Hills, but the big Bravo news this week, which we already kind of knew, but it was confirmed that Teresa, Melissa, and Dolores are the only people coming back to Jersey.
Yeah.
They're going to start filming in the spring, presumably with like 3 to 4 new people, I'm guessing. What were your initial thoughts on that?
The reunion was worth it. Melissa and Teresa making up was well worth it. It does feel genuine. So I'm going to pretend until I am proved otherwise. I mean, it makes sense. I think, like you said, we all kind of assumed it. If we get a new version of Melissa and Teresa where we're not fighting or bickering or like taking low digs, I'm fine with it. But if this is like a wash and repeat of what we've seen in other seasons that has turned viewers off before, then I don't want it. So I'm curious who the other women are going to be. I like the fact that they didn't like fully scrap everybody and go like the new Roni route and that they are keeping us with like pillars of the franchise. You know, whether you love or hate either one of them, Melissa and Teresa are like pillars. And then Dolores is like a universally liked housewife. I will miss Margaret.
Me too. She also announced this week she's not coming back.
Yes. So I will miss Margaret. I completely understand why if she probably gave the stance, it's either me or Teresa, and they're like, well, Teresa's coming back. I can understand why she said, okay, goodbye. That was not a healthy situation for her, and she's going to be just fine without the housewives. But I'm going to miss her. I think she adds so much to the show. She's funny. She has great one-liners. I love her house. I love her naked showers with her husband every morning. Like, I'm going to miss her.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it would be divisive. Because just how intense fans of Teresa are, but I don't care at this point. I posted that I thought that Margaret is really one of the best housewives they've ever had on Jersey. Like, I feel like that sort of second win the show had, sort of starting around when she joined, which was like when they didn't change the cast for like 4 or 5 years or something. Yeah. Like, it was kind of, she was kind of part of the start of that. I'm not going to credit her for all of that, but like, she was never afraid of confrontation. Had many iconic lines, took it to Teresa, like spoke for the audience a lot of the time. Like, I just think that she should be proud of the run that she had on that show.
Yeah.
Again, I agree with you that it sort of makes sense for them to choose Teresa over her. And I think that Melissa and Teresa reuniting was probably the death knell for Margaret. You know, if that hadn't happened, I think the situation would have been murkier.
Yeah.
But them being able to have a united front, just Margaret was really the pin in Teresa's side.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think Margaret and Melissa are still friends?
I think they're still friends. I saw a nice comment that Melissa made on Margaret. I feel like in situations like this, it totally makes sense if there's like some space that has been formed between them. You know?
Have you been seeing Antonia Gorga's TikToks?
No.
Oh my God. She, for whatever reason, like, I don't know why she's starting now, is rewatching New Jersey. And it is, it's really funny. Yeah, okay. She's so cute. Like, I don't know, just seeing her come into her own a little bit. Like, I never really thought she showed like too much of a personality on the show, but seeing her on her TikTok is like her like expressing herself. And yeah, her takes on like what's going on. Like she was like, the two twins, like, what's up with that?
Like, we're all still asking that question.
Yeah. It sucked because it was just when her family reconciled and she's like, let me start watching this. And she gets to season 2 or 3, whatever, at the christening. And I'm like, girl, turn it off. You don't want to watch.
It's like next. It's like in this new season, the storyline is going to be Antonia being like, Mom, you can't be friends with them again.
Like, did you see what they did to you?
Like, yeah, they were moving forward. And so it is this interesting thing, though, where it's like, all right, we took that almost 2-year break from this show.
Yeah.
And we're landing back with Teresa, Melissa, and Dolores. I'm not complaining because I'm happy, as you said, they're not doing a full reboot or whatever. And I guess with the exception of the Margaret factor, because I don't think that Margaret could like pretend with Teresa and Louis.
No.
I'm like, ultimately, the show didn't need to be recast in a big way. You know, it's like Rachel, Danielle, they kind of had really unlucky timing with the show. I think they were actually pretty solid as new housewives in those two seasons.
I agree. And
Fessler,
like, younger
was a fun
woman
friend.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Jen Aiden, they should have, after last season, they absolutely should have let her go regardless.
Yeah.
Jackie didn't need to be there. But ultimately, like, they didn't have to do, they just had to pause. They just had to pause.
They did. And I think, you know, as much as us as fans want everything like right now, I think a pause was really smart to let their lives live out a little bit. I think a few franchises could benefit from a pause. Yeah, I know we're going to talk about Beverly Hills, but I think that's one of them. I will miss Jen Fessler. I think she's also hilarious and like just like a light friend. But yeah, I'm curious as to who else they're going to bring, who's going to be friends of whom, and what the drama is going to be.
The rumor, Chelsea, is that there's a report question, quote unquote. I don't know where it came from, so it could be total bullshit, that Danielle and Kim D are being considered to be friends of the show.
Okay,
and I'm like,
that to me is going backwards. That
I
don't want.
Forward. Yeah,
like, we are both millennials. We love nostalgia, but I don't want Danielle Staub back on my screens again. Like, I don't. And where is she currently with Danielle, or I'm sorry, with Melissa and Teresa? Like, she's
I feel like not in a good place. Yeah, I feel like she's been
I don't need it. I don't need it.
I'm with you. All right, so let's get into Summer House. There's, again, a lot to discuss with this show. To me, it's totally just the moment. I'm sure people are tired of hearing me say that.
Favorite show on Bravo.
Yeah, it is delivering on so many fronts right now. And it's funny because I feel like it started out being so Amanda and Kyle heavy. There was a couple weeks where it wasn't. And then obviously this week, Kyle reared his head and they get back from a night out and he is upset that Amanda is not paying attention to him inside DJing alone. She's hanging out with everybody else by the hot tub. He could have easily just come outside and hung out by the hot tub.
Just take the DJ table and stand right there, put your feet in the pool and
totally
do the ones and twos.
Yeah, you probably would have gotten a noise complaint from your neighbors in the Hamptons. But that's, you know, that's a risk you take.
Yeah.
So he ultimately says, fuck you to Amanda in front of everybody. After she gave him, quote, fuck you eyes. That was his term.
What's your interpretation of a fuck you eyes? Like, what does that look like? Yeah.
Or maybe like an eye roll, you know?
Yeah.
Because listen.
You just, yeah.
Has Amanda been annoyed by him? At every turn, has she been, for lack of a better term, nagging him? Absolutely. But guess what? None of that merits being called fuck you in front of everybody else and then in your bathroom calling her a fucking bitch, like on camera. That
nasty
is
work.
Nasty, and nothing she did would merit that. What was your reaction to seeing that play out?
Okay, this is going to sound crazy.
Okay.
But going into the episode, Andy said that this is the worst episode for Kyle Cook and Summer House history. So my bar was high.
Yeah.
And it was awful. It was awful. But I was left wondering, has Kyle Cook done worse on Summer House? I think he has, which is horrible to like walk away with that sentiment after seeing him say, fuck you to his wife and you're a stupid bitch. Like, for me to think like he's done worse, like that's really, you know, I mean, it's why we love Kyle Cook, because he'll go there. But I hated it. And what I hated most for Amanda was that she was so done fighting. Right. She had no fight to give. She was like, I'll just put on a smile, throw his little old people birthday party tomorrow. And that's all like, and like, that's what broke my heart, was that he could speak to her that way and she had no fight left in her. And she knows that it's not okay for him to speak to her that way. I found Wes to be really endearing in that moment. And Ben to kind of, I don't know what you think about Ben, but Ben said something about like, she pushes his buttons and he reacts like,
not the time for that.
Several seats.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I was left, you know, with Andy's like high expectations going into it. I was like, okay, this is going to be bad. And it was bad, but I don't know. Kyle is just such a man child, and I can't really understand how one operates in the way in which Kyle does.
I know.
He seems like he comes from a good family.
to be honest, it's like, I do ultimately, it's crazy to say this too.
Yeah.
Kyle is ultimately a pretty good guy. He's just a really bad person in this relationship. And and he has treated her poorly, and he's been very selfish in this relationship.
Yeah.
And it's not what she deserves at all. And you're right. It's so sad to just see her take it. She just kind of is like, I'm going to brush it off for the sake of the birthday party tomorrow. It's not worth circling back on it tomorrow morning. She tells multiple people this. I think she's at this point pretty much past like thinking this is what she deserves. Mm-hmm. But she definitely has thought. She said, like, I used to think this is what I deserve. And like, I essentially know now this is not. But like, I can't do anything about it right now. I think the on-camera, off-camera thing is also a factor here. And it's, you know, a lot of people have said this, but it's sort of like, all right, this is like what Kyle's saying to her on camera.
Yeah.
Is he doing worse? Is he saying worse off camera? I don't know, but that's definitely a possibility.
I would imagine so, especially with how frequently he's going out DJing and like coming home at God knows what time in the middle of the night. I would imagine, he's saying like much worse things at a higher volume and whatnot. I also wonder if there's like a little, like Amanda's been on the show almost as long as Kyle. Mm-hmm. If she's also aware of like the whole season can't be about me and Kyle. So I'm just going to like move forward and pretend like compartmentalize this and like not address it right now. Cause we have other things. We have a show going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I wonder if there's a part of her too where she's like, we can't like suck up the entire plot line of the season and let me just move on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There is this factor now with Bravo couples where it's like, if we break up, it can become this thing.
Yeah.
And I think it still is sort of becoming this thing for her where, we've seen it happen time and time again for the past like 3 or 4 years. I think we're seeing it, honestly, with Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, too, where there's sort of this playbook to play into. And I do think there's a hesitance for her to play into that, too, because I think that she does ultimately like Kyle as a person. She just knows that she can't be in a relationship with him anymore. And I think that Sierra is the one who really breaks the seal on this episode. It's like, it was really, I wasn't surprised to hear her say it, but I was also still shook when she was like, on camera, I think they should separate. Like, verbatim saying that, that's a really big deal to say that on camera if you're in this group where there's definitely this probably understanding where it's like, if you say that, like that's out there, you know? And I almost, do you agree with the sentiment that like maybe Sierra had to be the one to say it first? Like, I don't know if Amanda would have gone there if Sierra almost had to do it.
Yeah, it's yeah, she had to push her in front, like lead her to the water. 100%. I wasn't surprised, but it did leave me aghast hearing her say that. I think that, you know, I told Rachel this on our podcast. Sierra's having a standout season, like in love with her, want to be her friend, like trying to hang. And I think an aspect of that is we're seeing her really show up for her friends. I love her relationship with Mia and KJ, but also how she is supporting Amanda in her time of need. And I do think like sometimes you need to hear it from someone else. And Amanda said, I don't know if it was the first or the second episode, about how she hears all the outside noise from people online.
Yeah.
And like, she's not sure if these are her genuine thoughts or not, or someone else's, but like to hear it from someone that actually like knows you knows your relationship is probably going to like cut through so much deeper than like the random people on the internet that just watch your life or like an edited version of your life. So yeah, I'm happy Sierra said what we're all thinking. And Jesse's idea of a marriage or relationship,
I was about to ask about Wes and Jesse's different reactions to that. That was really telling.
Like, especially because Jesse's like, yeah, I'm ready for a relationship, blah, blah, blah. And like, I loved when Wes was like, when have you ever seen them like and been like, I get it. And Jesse's like, when they dance? Like, that's not it, dude.
Right. Yeah, and or like, when they hug. And Wes is like, oh, when they hug, that is a sign of a great marriage. Just
yes. Yeah. And I'm like, it tells me that you're not emotionally mature enough to have a relationship right now, Jesse. And maybe Wes is, but he's just like physically not much. Like he still wants to spread his loins around New York City, which go off king. So
that in a second.
Yeah. But I will say, like, yeah, I thought see, that's the thing about Wes, too. It's like Wes is such a likable guy. And
totally.
I think what he's done, what he did to Sierra years ago, like is slowly starting to like, you know, we're seeing a different side to him. And, you know, he's the way he is on social media and things that he stands up for and stuff like that. And he's very vocal about, but also how he portrays himself on the show and how respectful he is to the women and to his friends and stuff like that. So I genuinely like Wes, and he also is another person that seems like he has, like, his head on his shoulders. And I'm glad that Amanda has Wes and Sierra.
I loved seeing Wes stick up for Amanda directly to Kyle. And he explained on Watch What Happens Live that, like, he wouldn't normally have done that. But, like, because he was literally standing right there when Kyle said, fuck you to her, he kind of just, like, felt like he had to.
Yeah.
And it's been so interesting watching this, like, thread of Amanda and Wes form this season, because I feel like for the past two seasons before this, I don't think that their friendship or connection was ever anything like notable to me that I noticed, at least. But like, he's really been there. He's been checking on her after various conversations at the dating event. I remember him sitting with her, and he's really just genuinely been a really good friend to her. But obviously, like, there's a lot of speculation that it's become more than that in real time.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Watch What Happens Live after the fact, and I'm just going to read you what he said.
Yeah.
And Andy asked for his response to the rumors about him and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
She's single now, and it's already happened to other people she's hung out with. We were just hanging out in New York, and I got to show her the streets. If it's not clear, it's a very important person to me. And then Andy and the other guests sort of pipe in. They're like, okay, but as she's your homegirl, right? And he's like, yeah, that's my homegirl. That's a friend. I hope that's clear. So like, okay. I watched that live and I was like, okay, this is the West who we see on reunions that like really kind of fumbles the moment a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't really know what to say.
Yeah.
And this is like, he should have been much more direct and clear about the fact that they are just friends.
Yes.
It took him a while to get there. That's where he landed.
Yeah.
Kind of objectively, but like, I think him fumbling a lot with that answer it didn't fully shut down the speculation.
No. So I watched it too, but before I watched it, I saw a tweet that quoted it. And reading the quote is like, what the world word salad are you saying? And then when I watched it, I was like, okay, he's saying she's single now. And it happens to everyone that she's with. So saying that anytime she's with a another guy. There's speculation that she's dating them.
Yes.
I was like, all right, fair. Again, could have said that a lot more clearly.
One of his friends was the first person people speculated about.
Yes, that she was with. And then I loved that she posted something with Jesse on Instagram. It was like, just friends. But then Benoit did a spotted Amanda and Jesse having a serious conversation. It's like, okay. So I understand that. But I was like, yes, like, Wes, please be a little bit more clear. You've been on this show for 3 seasons now. Like, you know clickbait. You know what's going to get people going. You also work in media. Like, you know this, Wes. Like, be more definitive. I don't believe the rumors. I don't think he settled it, like, and squashed it completely, but I didn't need him to do that because, like, I just genuinely, you know, I think I know Amanda, and I don't think she would do that to Sierra.
I agree. That's the factor that I'm like, Amanda's a good person. They're really genuinely good friends.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the one thing that I saw before we started recording that I'm like, it has kind of made me spiral a little bit about it?
Oh, wait, what?
I just need to tell you, because I'm firmly in that camp, I think, still, but I guess.
I'm nervous.
Amazon Live announced that Amanda and Sierra were going to do an Amazon Live together.
Uh-huh.
They announced this like 3 weeks ago. And I guess today or yesterday, they did 2 separate Amazon Lives.
Oh.
Are they for like Ollie Gummies or something? I think so. It's like kind of like very sponsored posts on the stories kind of situation, but it was presented as them doing it together a couple weeks ago and it happened separately. So that's the only thing really after Wes thing. Again, this could just be us
reading into it.
Maybe
Sierra has a cold and she doesn't want to get anyone sick.
Totally. Or it could be something totally different, but there's like all these little clues that people put together that, again, I've ignored up until now. But, you know, it makes you think for sure. And I'm just sort of like, okay, is there some crazy possibility that like Amanda and West were drunk on one of these days where he was showing her the streets and they made out and it's not anything more, but Sierra's still mad about that? Is that a possibility in my mind?
That would like break my heart.
No, it would break my heart because I still think it's something that Amanda wouldn't do.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't, if this friendship gets
about it
broken up over Wes Wilson, I will.
Yeah, it's really
take back every nice thing I said about him.
Yeah, I think I'm still in the camp of it. Nothing has happened and it's just like total speculation and they're kind of being silly by not totally shutting it down directly. But
yeah,
you know, sometimes I spend a little bit too much time scrolling on Instagram on the fan accounts and
it'll do it to you.
The wheels start turning. So
that's what sucks about being chronically online about Bravo is like my mom watches these shows and she gets all the extra like color from me. But like she just lives in like what's going on the TV screen.
I love that blissful experience for her. Yeah. I love that for your mom.
Yeah. She can just shut it off whenever. And like for me, it's like I'm going to bed thinking about the Southern Charm reunion. And
yeah, literally.
Sally posting about Kyle Cook and if they're going to hook up in Charleston. Like, that's what goes on in my head at night.
Did she post about Kyle Cook?
She posts about his DJ set, like his tour. And I think he's stopping in Charleston. Yeah. Sally.
There have been rumors about them, so.
Oh, Sally Carson.
Yeah. Sally Carson. Good for the show, ultimately.
Messy, messy queen.
Where do you stand on specifically Sierra and West, though? Because the midseason trailer promises, like, they're going to at least like kiss or cuddle or something. There's like some dark footage of them in a bedroom.
Yeah.
And then there's another thing where it's like, it's very unclear what it is, but they're like, Wes does something and it
seems like he flirts with a girl in front of Sierra or something.
Okay.
That's what I gathered.
So what's your read on it? Like, are you one of the people who is like, yep, give him another chance, get back because you clearly have chemistry? Are you like, don't give him another chance? He's not worth it. You're better than that.
I don't want to see Sierra get dragged by any other man on Bravo ever again. Like, I want her, if she wants to flirt with West for the summer, and, like, that's it. I want Sierra to be with a ball player or an actor or, like, an extremely successful finance guy. Like, someone with wealth and prominence in New York City that could, like, she deserves bigger than the Bravo men. But for my viewing pleasure, I do like watching them flirt this season on Summer House. I'm not shipping, but like, yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I appreciate that stance because I think the flirt, it's so easy to see the chemistry and the flirting and be and want it to become what it should have become, I think, initially, if he hadn't fumbled the bag. But I totally am aligned also with, like, I do not want Sierra ever to be embarrassed again by anyone on these shows. So it's like, I think ultimately that's probably the safer bet. But it's just so easy to get roped in. It is.
You know? It's like, oh my God, they're so cute. And like hearing West, how he talks about it, like when he was talking to Ben about it, I was like, there was so much more to this relationship that we just did not know or see, which we shouldn't have. It was during the fall and all that stuff. Like, so I loved that. But yeah, I want bigger and better things for my girl Sierra.
And the other thing that, I mean, I agree with your take on Sierra's season overall. I think that, like, it's funny because when we have a breakup season like this with, like, Kyle and Amanda, which I don't think they actually will break up on Summer House. I think we'll see more about in the city. They might separate, but I don't know. You kind of assume, oh, yeah, it's going to be Amanda's season. And it's not Amanda's season, but it's Sierra's season ultimately. Like, the way that she is showing up for her, the way that she's showing up for herself, the way that she is having fun and more... I think Paige leaving the show is actually a really good thing for her. And the other aspect of that, which I have just loved watching, I mean, Mia is just such an incredible addition to the show overall. And they clearly have an existing actual friendship. Like, Mia is not like somebody's, like, you know, Sierra's friend who she met at an influencer
Lexi,
event.
How,
like, she's actually
Lexi
her
was
friend.
To Amanda last season. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they are like, their friendship is so clear and overt and fun to watch and supportive. But then also watching them take KJ under their wing, like, even just seeing them sit on that lawn while they're setting up for the party, like, that little scene was so, like, watching them, their relationship form in real time is so special. Like, it's so fantastic
really
to watch.
I miss Paige, but I hate to say, I do think she was holding the girls back a bit with, like, going, like, seeing them go out more and, like, being more, like, involved and entrenched in the house and stuff like that. Like, I really do enjoy them. And it's honestly giving, like, I always felt like this house was really close to one another, but I feel even more so now that the closeness of the group. And that's fun to see. Like, even... I think it wasn't this past week's episode, but the week before, I don't even think there was really any fighting or anything like that. It was just like them all having a good time. Like when they were playing, like, you know, beer pong and stuff, like I don't need there to be fights all the time. Yeah. It's nice to see them actually enjoy one another. And I like that we're getting that from this group.
Yeah, me too. I haven't really talked to anybody on my show about last week's episode. What was sort of your high-level reaction to the conversation that they led at that dinner table?
I really thought Sierra did a fantastic job of laying out how she feels in this space, dating white men specifically on the show and on this platform, and like what it means largely in the culture or the Black culture. I'm married to a white man, so like I completely understand and related to a lot of what she was saying. And yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of her dating decisions get boiled down to like Black and white when it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the house did a really good job of listening and learning. I kind of feel like West shut down a bit in that conversation, and I wish I expected a little bit more from him in that moment, but I overall was like, and even Kyle, like I appreciated him saying like, yeah, I don't realize how my actions like going off and spewing like and having my like, you know, meltdowns, like that does look differently if it were KJ, like, and that sucks, you know?
Absolutely.
So like, I appreciated that in that moment, they all like held space for them and let them articulate everything that they needed to say. And, you know, it's my understanding, I haven't caught up on Southern Hospitality yet, but like a similar conversation happened on Southern Hospitality where, you know, Emmy did the like tears again. So it's just like I'm glad that this house is a little bit further along with having and mature and having these conversations. And that honestly, that Sierra felt comfortable enough to broach it with all of them, because that's also a big thing. Like, if these are my people, like they need to know how I feel. And it's not always easy, but I trust them and I'm going to like lay it out.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think it really does speak to the level of confidence I think that Sierra has gotten and built for herself through her time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been such a like, her trajectory on the show is so interesting and she's always been really open, but like watching her lead that was really, I don't know if she would have done that 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
No.
You know? And I just think that she's learned so much. And I read a little interview that she did. I think maybe the New York Times. It was sort of like it wasn't a full profile, but she called attention to the traitors and her time on that show as being like really confidence boosting for her. And I'd like to know more about that because it was just like kind of a throwaway thing. But I was like, oh, interesting. Like maybe being with other people on a show like that, something about it, I guess, helped her. But
I feel like so many Bravo Lebs walk away from the traitor experience and like and feel like better about themselves in a way where it's like they're on a show that doesn't feel like a gotcha or that they're manipulating story to make you look a certain way or feel a certain way type of a thing, especially with Housewives. Because I do think like every season of Traitors with a housewife on it, I feel differently about the housewife than I did on their time on Housewives in a positive way. And I think it's because they're allowed to really like be who they are without the manipulation of trying to fit a story together.
Totally.
And that could be like
differently.
Sierra's experience where she's not like worried about how they're going to portray her and Boston Rob's alliance or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's so much also like built in expectation now for her on Summer House.
And, yeah.
All right. That is, I think we've covered most of our bases on Summer House. Let's move over to Beverly Hills and actually to Italy where they are right now.
Gosh.
You know, here's the thing. This season had a really slow start and it still has its issues, but like, I think this Italy trip has been pretty great. Like I've been enjoying this Italy trip from them. Are you feeling the same or are you feeling differently?
I think it's good. I think with Beverly Hills is it's just like beautiful things to look at.
Beautiful gowns.
Yes. Right. Like it's just like it's shot really nicely. They honestly, I was really hooked it up with this Italy trip, like the villa that they're staying in. Like I can't think of any better housewife trip accommodations. Like it's amazing. The wealth poureth over. Like, so it's like, that's what Beverly Hills gives you. So even when there's nothing going on, like at least you could like watch pretty people doing pretty things. And that's what the season is giving. Like I enjoyed, to me, the highlights of the season so far was maybe the Hamptons trip, but that also dragged on a little long. But like we got so much out of Rachel. Honestly, any scene with Rachel, I love, especially with her family and when she's talking about her divorce. Like she is so candid. I have grown to appreciate Amanda, and I don't know if it's because she just wakes up and they're all mad at her, and like I like that for like I don't know, but I've grown to like appreciate her, and like it's crazy to me. Like Dorit, I mean Dorit's not an OG at this point, but she's a vet. Like you should know by this time. Like if you guys all gang up on one person, the audience is gonna side with the person, no matter how cuckoo the person is. Like
you know, Kyle knows that now.
Yeah, and Kyle knows that, and that's why she's not piling on Amanda. Like you know, so I don't understand like what their like beef with her is. Like I get it, she's monotoned. She's woo-woo, but so is like half the women in LA. Like,
yeah, right, right.
You could walk down Beverly and Wilshire and like see a woman that has crystals and is manifesting her next husband. So,
right. Yeah, I agree. I've definitely gone on that same journey with Amanda where I appreciate her very much so, because without her, I don't know what we would be talking about on this season. And like, would I want to be friends with her? No. Like, I wouldn't. But, like, the way that she activates them is so needed.
Yeah.
And, like, the way they're trying to sort of, like, fit the square peg of her cult experience into a round hole, like, isn't really working for me.
Same.
It's, like, it's very forced. It's, like, oh, she was in a cult. And she's been through tough things, like she can deal with us. And also she's starting a cult herself.
Yeah.
Like that's like the argument. I'm like, okay, like I think we're missing some steps here, you know? And I feel like it's a little bit of a deflection from like, they actually have been treating her pretty badly. And this whole Bose Natalie mask Pinocchio thing that happened.
Yeah.
I actually think that Amanda was right to be upset about that. I think it's unfortunate she did not remember the particulars of the comment that she overheard, because then it got really
convoluted
and nobody remembers it specifically. But then, like, this Natalie woman who hasn't said one word the entire time, she's given a storyline or like a moment on a silver platter and she completely fumbles the bag. It's just, yeah. What did you think about the mask thing?
You know, I had high hopes for Natalie when she came in talking about happy endings on her first group dinner. I thought this woman's a star. Like, let's see more of her. I wish that she would have, in the moment when Kyle and Amanda kind of confront or asked her about it when they were shopping, Natalie should have just been like, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But she's new to this. She doesn't understand that what she says is going to be brought back. And she should have just owned it in the moment of like, yes, I heard both say this. I thought it was a joke, but I could see how you may not think that. Like, that's the thing about these women. It's like anything they say could be said. It's a joke. But like telling someone that they're fake or a liar, they may not think that's funny. And you No. have to be okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're Amanda, who like has been subject to a lot of comments about herself so far. So
yeah.
And I feel like maybe I didn't even watch it, but I feel like I maybe saw that Bose posted a video after this episode aired, like apologizing to Amanda.
She did.
What did she say?
She just said that she really didn't remember what she had said in the moment, and that she takes full ownership for saying it, and that she's wrong. Like, yeah. So she does like cop up to the fact that she said it and all of that, but it still is just like, I don't know. And even Dorit, like, I've been loving an activated Dorit, but like her getting upset with Kyle for Kyle taking up for Amanda, like, and also, like you said, it's like the things that they're trying to pull. I think, what did Dorit say of like, Kyle's just trying to make Amanda be a good soldier for her or something like that? And I'm like, no, I just think Kyle's tired of the storyline just as much as we are at home and wants to move things along.
Like, right. And also, like, what this has nothing to do with you, Dorit. Like, it's not like,
yes.
Like she was doing backflips to make it relate back to her and Kyle being anti-Dorit. And it's like, no, like, this has nothing that you weren't even part of any of this. So, like,
when she stormed out of the conversation, I was like, where are you going?
Ridiculous.
What are you doing?
No. Showing up late and then leaving early has become the Dorit MO. It's funny because this Dorit Kyle Erica thing is going to blow up this week. We have not seen tonight's episode. We're recording on Thursday. But like, you know, they're all kind of fed up with each other. Kyle at Dorit for like acting irresponsibly with money, and also the way she's talking about her divorce on camera. Dorit with Kyle for even having an issue with that and talking about with other people. Erica is getting really fed up with Dorit always being late and just like kind of disrespectful to the rest of the group. Are you like finding yourself on a particular side of that? Are you interested in that? Like, how are you feeling about those three kind of it coming to a head for them?
I think they're all a little bit right. And as far as sides, like, I actually stand firmly with Erica Jane this season. I don't know what it is about her. Like, I'm back on the Erica train.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, she's just so fun to watch. She still dresses fabulously. She's been very vulnerable and like telling us about stuff that has gone on in her life recently. And yeah, so I'm back on Erica's side for the most part. With Kyle and Dorit, Kyle is right. Dorit should not be talking about her finances and her relationship and trashing PK on the show. However, Kyle should have this conversation with Dorit off camera and not on camera, because it adds to the fodder and the fire for PK. So I understand Dorit being annoyed with Kyle in that way, because it's like, okay, yes, I'm talking about it, but now you're even like elevating it to like where it's like waving a flag for him to be aware of it, type of a thing.
Yeah, like the shopping part wouldn't have been a thing. It like now there's now they're zeroing on anytime Dorit buys anything because Kyle's talking about it.
Yes, yeah. Like call me on the side, like as we've probably done so many other times before, and just like tell me off camera. So I understand Dorit's frustration there. I think Dorit, though, is just, I mean, Dorit can never be wrong. Like at times, Dorit is very Craig Conover-esque, where it's like,
sure,
she will hold on to something and like it will then turn into something else, and it will never be her fault. And that's parts of Dorit where I it's hard to like get on board with. And I think those are the things that Erica's seeing, where it's like, you're being a little bit too self-destructive for my liking. I don't want to be attached to that right now. Like, I, even though it seems like Erica has come a long way from the Tom Girardi of it all, like, she still has this like, what, $15 million lawsuit. Like, she still has heavy things looming over her. So like, I don't think she could afford a chaos agent in her life. And like, that's what Dorit's giving. So like, I understand all of their frustrations and like points with one another. Dorit, I felt I was rooting for more last season than I am this season.
Interesting.
Obviously, like, I like screw PK, but I don't know. There's something about Dorit this season that I'm just like not championing.
Yeah.
As much as before.
I feel like she saw the great reaction to her being activated last season. She's kind of like dialed it up three notches.
Yeah, it doesn't feel genuine.
It's also like, it's interesting because I feel like Kyle and Erica have sort of taken similar approaches to their own splits, and they're a little bit more careful with their words, I would say, about how they talk about their exes and their situations, which are very different. But
yeah,
I feel like Dorit and Rachel Zoe have a more similar approach, which is like, kind of burn them all down for their ex. You know, it's like nothing's kind of like, they're kind of just going all in. And I feel like they're kind of maybe also gassing each other up in that way, where it's like, oh yeah, fucking get his ass, you know?
And I think what the difference is with Rachel and Dorit, because like, yeah, they're both like telling us everything about their exes. Rachel has the financial means to stand on her own, regardless of what Roger does. Like, Dorit needs to play this a lot more carefully, because as we learned on Watch What Happens Live, her house is in foreclosure. Like, they have not paid the mortgage in months. And like, Rachel's not in that position. So Rachel could like, waiting to exhale, set it all on fire.
Yeah.
Dorit doesn't have that luxury, you know?
Totally. That's a good distinction.
So that's where I'm just like, stop.
Dorit's kind of trying to keep up with the Joneses or keep up with the Zoes, you know?
Yeah, and it's, your book deal is not going to get you there.
No. Well, Chelsea, I think that's kind of all that because we don't have tonight's episode, but I appreciate you coming on, and just, I'm so happy that we can record together again. And
yes!
Just so happy for everything going on in your life. And I really appreciate you coming on very last minute to help me out.
Of course. Again, I saw your text message and I was like, I'm going to make this work.
And I so appreciate it. You don't even
Yes. Yes, of course.
Morally Corrupt. What do you guys cover pretty much all the shows, correct? And when are episodes coming out? Do the plugs.
Yeah. Morally Corrupt, you could catch on all podcast platforms, Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays are our like news shows. So we'll go over everything going on in the Bravo world news-wise. And then Fridays, a recap show where we just talk shop about what we're watching. So yeah, we're covering everything. And it's a lot of fun to be a Bravo fan, always.
It is. And you guys have such a great roster over there. Like, I just love all you guys. So it's
Callie
you work
Rachel
some great people.
And myself. Yeah, it's so fun. Yes, thank you.
I love
you.
It. Well, Chelsea, I really appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
Yes. Bye, Gib.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.